Let's stand together again. It's good to be here tonight. Feel the presence of the Lord. Let's lift our hands up together. Let's talk to the Lord for just a few minutes. Precious, wonderful Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to Thee tonight in the lovely name of Your holy child Jesus, asking You the forgiveness of our sins and, dear God, of our wrongs, asking You the forgiveness of my wrongs, Father, my shortcomings, and of the congregation's shortcomings, Father, and of their wrongs. And knowing that there is no wrong in Jesus, and there is no wrong in the precious Holy Spirit, no wrong in the Father of Heaven, we ask for Your blessings, for Your anointing, for Your healing, for Your salvation, and Your concern about the audience tonight. May Your great Spirit in a great way be here to open our understandings, to quicken the fibers of our beings, Lord, to enlarge our desire. Oh God of Heaven, to heal, to save, to forgive, that we may glorify Your precious, lovely name, Jesus. We ask that You bless the service in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. Be seated. I want to say again that it's good to be here tonight. We'll leave y'all. God is blessing. This past Wednesday night, I believe it was, I was looking at the parking lot down here. And we're going to have to do something if keeps increasing. We're not going to have a place to park the cars. So many down there in the parking lot, we can't hardly get cars in. And God is still blessing, and we're still asking God to help us, trying to do something for the Lord. Friday night, it seems like on Friday night we have a slackness, whereas I notice it's picking up a little bit. But somehow or another, when people get money, they have to go somewhere outside of church. There's something about it that it commands a performance in another direction. And I notice with a regularity on Friday that there are people that will come to church other times that they miss it on Friday night. And, of course, people who do that will never be prosperous and they'll never be blessed. People who love money will never be satisfied with money, the Bible teaches. People who love God will have both Christ and all the wealth that they want. You know, we think about rich men and we think about millionaires and we think about the one that's got the most money, the one that's got the most wealth. But it's not too often we ever consider the fact that God owns all of the millionaires, and that the wealth that they have doesn't belong to them, it belongs to God. All the gold and silver of the world and the kingdoms doesn't belong to the world and the kingdoms. It belongs to God. He's the one that's fabulously rich. All of these natural things belong to God. All of the stores, all of the businesses, the stars, the trees, the moon, the gold, the silver, the jewels, the diamonds, the riches, the power, the magnificence, the wisdom, all of that belongs to God. These other people that we rate as millionaires and billionaires and rich men and whatever, it doesn't belong to them at all. So then, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow at all. It's good to be here tonight. It's good to feel the presence of the Lord and to know that He loves us. And it's always good just to be in a routine of coming to church. The Bible said it was God's custom, that is through Jesus Christ. It was His custom to be in the sanctuary every Sabbath day. So it's good just to have a routine and a custom to come to church with a regularity. Some of the fellows have been working today, had some things going on down in the store, and they have been working to try to get things straightened out down there. Some of the people that are coming in and out are kind of shook up over what we're doing. Let's read some from chapter 19 of the book of St. John. And then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from henceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called a pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was about the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garment and made four parts to every soldier, a part and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. Then they said therefore among themselves, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots." These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour that disciple took her his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the others, which was crucified with him. When they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and alloy, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths, with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying yet when he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloths lie, and the napkins that was about his head not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with him. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy fingers, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing you may have, might have life through his name. It's reading a good bit of scripture. You know, there's one thing that's outstanding here that Jesus speaks of, and that is when he faced Pilate in the judgment hall. Or just prior to this, when Pilate came to the cell. These things are outstanding in the 19th chapter of St. John. For it is said here that I have power to release thee, or I have power to crucify thee. Jesus said, you could have no power over me at all if it was not for that which God has given unto thee. That is to say, you have no power over me. I can get out of here whenever I desire. He said, on one occasion, I can call down legions of angels if I so desire. That no man taketh my life from me. I have the power to retain my life or keep my life. No man can take my life. I lay my life down and that for the will of my Father. And he said to him here, he said, therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. You know, we talk about this a lot of times. We talk about the greater sin. A lot of times people are of the opinion that all sin is the same. It is true that all sin is the same in the sense that he that sinneth, that is the soul that sinneth, shall surely die. But there is a difference. There is a difference when you say the greater sin. The Bible speaks on one occasion of some never having known the depths of Satan. There is a depth of Satan that you can get into that some people have never gotten into. Some get into deeper depths in Satan than others. And some people have never known the depths of Satan that others have known. It's just like people that serves God. Some people get into one place with God. Some people get into another place with God. To give you a thought here of what I'm trying to tell you, you take, like, for instance, there might be a church over the way, not too far from Bethlehem. Those people will say, I don't believe what they're teaching at Bethlehem. I don't believe what that preacher's saying. And to them, it seems a matter of proving their point. To them, it's just a matter of proving their point as to whether they are right or we are right, or whether they're teaching the right thing and we're teaching the wrong thing. And they say, well, we're both trying to preach the Bible and we're both religious, but it's just a matter of fact that they're wrong and we're right. That's not what it is at all. It's a matter of growth in God. If they're worshiping God and they're doing it with all of their heart, and we're worshiping God and we're doing it with all of our heart, then that means that somewhere, somehow or another, one has not grown to the place that the other has grown to. There's one group of people, therefore, out of those that are in the contest one with another, there are some of them that have not grown to the place that others have grown to. Therefore, it means that when we say serving God with all of our heart, that we are not clearly understanding what that means. Because if we serve God with all of our heart in this church or any other church, then God is going to see to it that we get his very best. So then sometimes we think that we're serving God with all of our heart when we're not serving God with all of our heart. We're serving God in the way we want to serve him. We're serving him with all that we will offer to him. Not all that we could offer to him, but we're serving him with all that we will offer to him. And a lot of times we get drafted by that. So then it is not a matter of a contest as to these people over here being against these people. It's not a matter of these people over here proving their point and one proving that another one is wrong or the other one is right. It is a matter of growth, which means that one church is in one dimension and the other church is in another dimension,
And one church is functioning on one level of life, and another church is functioning on another level of life. So it isn't a dispute as to both of them being the same, and one proving his point as to the other one being wrong. It's not that at all. It means that one group of people have outgrown another people, and they have transformated into a greater dimension. And they're up in here, and they're up in the place with God in a greater dimension and in a greater power and a greater height. And those that are down in the lower level does not comprehend that. They don't see that, so they think the people are all mixed up and the people are all wrong. And they feel like they're just proving their points, that they know what they're doing and the other people doesn't know what they're doing. So then when you consider the whole thing, it just means that they that over the way might be those that are going through the tribulation period. It might be those that will not go in the translation, and yet they are a people that are walking with the Lord to that extent. Just like the Jews. The Jews definitely will not go in the translation. But are they therefore the enemy of God? Are they therefore not acquainted with God? Are they people that do not love the Lord? No, that's not what it is. They do not have their understanding enlightened to the place where our understanding is enlightened. They are walking more in darkness than we are because they do not understand what we are doing. They do not recognize Christ the way that we recognize Christ. But they are still God's creature. They're still God's beloved. The Bible tells us that they, as touching Israel, Israel is God's elect. And in touching Israel, you touch the apple of God's eye because he loves Israel. Therefore, there is a greater measure in God. There is a greater height in God. There is a greater knowledge in God. And there is places that you can obtain unto, or that you can get into, great, wonderful places with God that other people have never reached, that other people have never seen. Take Enoch, for instance. There's a great place that Enoch got into. 300 years of walking with God. And then all of a sudden the Bible said Enoch was not, for God took him. What happened to Enoch? He got into a different dimension. He got on a greater level. He got a greater contact. He went into a different place. Somebody would say, oh, that's not it, Brother Pike. It's just the fact that God took Enoch and he didn't take anybody else. Well, if that's true, then it's just the fact that God is a respected person and he thought more of Enoch than he did somebody else. Somebody said, well, maybe he did think more of Enoch. I don't see how he could have thought more of Enoch when the Bible teaches that what God says to one, he says unto all, and that God loves us equally through Christ Jesus and is no respect of human person. I don't see how that Enoch could possibly have gained more favor with God than I can gain with God, or that you can gain with God. If he could do that, then what is meant by the scripture when God in the New Testament points out that Elias was a man of like passion, is same as you and I. But he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it didn't rain for the space of 3 years and 6 months. See, so then it is not a matter of being an outstanding person in the sight of God, of being a greater person in the sight of God. It's a matter of faith. The Bible said Enoch believed God. He believed God's word. Abraham believed God and was called the friend of God. He believed God, and the Bible said, without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must first believe there is a God, believe that he is, and believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And in return, we must diligently seek God to prove our faith by our works, because the child is known by his doings. So then it is a fact that there is a greater place in God that you can be. And that greater place means that you have applied yourself more, you have put more time into it, you've been more concerned about it, you've studied more to show yourself approved, you've given yourself more to God than the other people have given themselves to God. And because of that, then you draw nigh to God, then God draws nigh to you. And you find yourself outgrowing somebody else. So this is the great, wonderful thing with God. It goes back to the same thing concerning the greater sin. There are people that get into the greater depths of sin.
There are some that do not go into the depths of sin that others do. They must pay for their wrongs, but they will not pay like the other people do. Those that get into the greater depths of Satan, those that take on the greater sin, will have to pay the greater price because of their wrongs and their misdemeanors. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, what do you mean? If a man don't go to heaven, isn't that it? Isn't that the terrible thing? That's the terrible thing. But brother, it'd be one thing to miss heaven. It'd be another thing to be cast into hell after you miss heaven. That'd be another thing to be put into a place of greater degree of punishment. There is greater degrees of punishment. Some might say, well, if you punish, you punish. I know that. But if you have a headache, that's one thing. And if your blood is running out your nose and your ears and running out your arms and running out your feet, that's another thing altogether. Isn't that right? You might be in the stockade over here, or you might be in some kind of training school over here that might not amount to a whole lot, and yet be a crucial moment for you because you didn't know anything about that kind of thing. And when you got in there, it just wrapped you up in such a way it just ruined your world. But there might be somebody down at the other prison, and that prison might be 10 times as bad as the place that you're in. For even the prisoners in some place are tormentors of those that come in, and they literally torment the life out of them, and they hurt them. I've read things about those places, like Alcatraz and other places, of how that those inmates, how that they torment the others that are on the inside. So see, there is a place of greater punishment. If it doesn't make any difference, then when a man goes to jail, why not say, send me to Alcatraz, or put me into one of those places where they torment the life out of you and they afflict you day and night, even the inmates, to where you don't have any peace. See, there is a greater place of punishment, and there's a greater depths of punishment. There's a greater depths to know Satan and get entangled with those things that are ugly and evil. I talk to the boys, I talk to the girls a lot of times, and I tell them, I say, you're going to get into a greater thing than your mother got into, a greater thing than your father got into. You're going to be in far worse a condition than they were, because you've learned more, you know more, and you're turning yourself loose just to do any old way, just taking the brakes off and say, let it go, you know, and dope up and whatever. This man that came in here, camouflaged everything, got in here, got up into the sacred dais. Somebody say, well, why did he get up there? The same reason that Judas got in among the disciples. See, God has a plan. But I said, the man's got a lust devil. The different ones I talked to didn't seem to feel that way. But I got a report today that the man left his wife, run off with another woman. The man that condemned us for building this thing right here, saying that Brother Branham said we didn't have time in all of this, went and built himself a place, and then got away from God and got away from the wife and went and took him another woman. And the last report was I got that he had cut his arm severely in a number of places. They said it was no little thing of make-believe, that he literally slashed his arm in terrible ways. And then they found him in the woods bleeding, and he throwed a rope over a limb and was fixing to hang himself. Doped up, that is, when they got to him, it took about an hour to get him out. He liked to bled to death and stayed in intensive care for quite a while. They also said the other one that I said was walking far off from God and was not right with God and needed help, that he was cursing and drinking, and so was this one. See, in other words, now that is worse than even the hippies out yonder. That is worse. You say, how can that be worse, Brother Pike? Because the Bible says it would have been better if you had never known the way of God than to know the way of God and then turn from the holy commandment after that God has made you to know the way. It was better that you never know it than go again and be then again entangled with the beggarly elements of this world. It'd been better if you'd never known God, because your punishment is more severe and your distance from God is greater. So then there is a greater sin. Jesus said, he that delivered me unto you, Pilate, he is more to blame. He hath the greater sin. In that Pilate wanted to release Jesus. In that Pilate didn't want to have anything to do with it. Yet God charged Pilate with sin because he did go through with it. Instead of leaving his seat of judgment and standing up and saying, whether I am an enemy of Caesar or whether I am not an enemy to Caesar, I will not pass judgment on this man. Because his wife came to him and said, don't you do nothing. Pilate, don't you touch this man. Don't you do anything to him. For this very day I have suffered many things in a dream because of this just man. Don't you mess with him. And Pilate took and washed his hands and said, I be free of the blood of this man. You see to it. You do whatever you want to, but I have nothing to do with it. But see, the thing is, he should have stepped down and made it more in the affirmative and let them know that he was no part of the crucifying of the God of heaven. The Bible said, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known that, Peter said. But said, with wicked hands you've taken and crucified the Lord of glory. I see people here at Bethlehem that's continually crucifying the Lord of glory. Over and over they crucify the Lord of glory. But if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But they do it at Bethlehem over and over. They crucify him afresh and put him to an open shame. So then there is a greater sin. Like I was trying to explain something to somebody today. See, there is a difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. There is what the Bible calls hot, and there is what the Bible calls cold. And then there is what the Bible calls lukewarm, which is the in-between. There is what we call sin, and there is what we call trespass. Therefore, there is one people that trespass, there is another people that sin. If a person trespass, then they are not a sinner. If a person sins, then they are not a trespasser. It does not say the person that trespasses shall surely be cut off. It does not say the person that trespasses shall surely die. It says the soul that sinneth shall surely die. The person that sins against God, they shall die. The person that sins against God, the Bible said that soul shall die because God cannot fellowship sin. But the person that trespasses against God, it doesn't say that they will have to die. It doesn't say that they are cut off from God. It doesn't say that the soul will die just because they trespass against God. I've trespassed against God many times. I didn't mean to trespass against God, and that's what made it a trespass. If I'd have meant to trespass against God, it would have been sin. If I'd have had a knowledge of my trespass and had willfully done it, it would not have been a trespass, it would have been a sin. But in that I was ignorant of it and got caught in whatever, and I didn't mean to do it, and I was trying to do my best not to do anything to displease him, and then I displeased him anyway, it was not a sin, it was a trespass. There was no will behind it. There was no desire behind it. There was no premeditation behind it. It's just the fact that I displeased God. I got in a hurry, and David said, in my haste, I did it. Got in a hurry trying to get something done. Got in a hurry trying to go somewhere and missed the will of God or trespassed against God or maybe got a little boisterous and said something to my wife or said something to my children or said something to my neighbors or done something that was a trespass against God, things that I didn't mean to do. So then I did not sin the sin of the soul, neither was I cut off. I didn't sin against God. Only in the sense of my trespass. I didn't mean to do that. Therefore, God did not impute it unto me as sin. He imputed it unto me as trespasses. And we pray, Father, forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. Father, I'm not asking you to forgive me of my sins because I don't have any sins to ask you to forgive me of. Somebody says, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. He that says he hath no sins, aha, I know what the Bible says about that. Well, maybe so. But anyway, the Bible said line upon line and precept upon precept. See, we don't have any sins to ask God to forgive us for. Somebody says, oh me, or amen, or something. Do we? Now, I want to take my time right along here. Do we? Do we have any sins as children of God? Do we have any sins? Now, we're talking about the sin and the greater sin. Do we have any sins? How could you have sin if you are a son of God? How can it be that you are a son of God and yet you are a sinner? Is a sinner then a son of God, or is a son of God then a sinner? Are they one and the same, or is there a definite distinction between them? Is there a definite difference between them? Am I a son of God and then I'm still a sinner? I couldn't be a sinner and be a son of God. That's not possible. John said, beloved, now are you the sons of God. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, you're not the son of God yet. But the Bible says, now, beloved, ye are the sons of God. It doesn't say I'm going to become a son of God. I'm not trying to become a son of God. You know, I see people in the church all the time, and they're trying to become a son of God. I'm not trying to become a son of God. I'm already a son of God. I'm not trying to get eternal life. I already have eternal life. I'm not trying to pass from death into life. I've already passed from death into life. See, there's a definite difference, folks. I'm not trying to keep from sinning. I've already been taken away from sin. I'm not trying to get into heaven. I'm already in heaven. There's a definite difference. He said, Brother Pike, what you preach is absurd to me. It might be, but yet it's God's word. So then, if you have no sin, why do you pray, oh God, forgive me my sins? Somebody tell me now. Why do you pray, oh God, forgive me for something I don't have? Is that the right way? He didn't tell. Somebody said, well, the Bible said we should pray that God forgive us of our sins. The Bible didn't say that. The Bible tells us that when we come to God in repentance, that we are to ask God to forgive our sins. When God forgives our sins and we don't have sin anymore. Like the songwriter said, they're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. They're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins. Father, forgive me my sins. What sins? The writer said they're gone. Now, either they're gone or they're not gone. Either the writer of the song made a mistake or something. So then, I don't have any sins because God took away my sins. Hallelujah. I'm like, I know you've had it now, Brother Pike, because you said that. Well, praise God, if I had it, I'm a happy fellow that had it. Because I have no sin, God took away my sins. And I pray to God, God, forgive me my trespasses. I don't pray to God, forgive me my sins. I do get down a lot of times, and the words may come forth, Father, forgive me my sins. But that's not what I'm meaning. I'm meaning, Father, forgive me my trespasses. See, God didn't tell me to pray that He should forgive me of my sins. He said, you pray that I'll forgive you of your trespasses. And you pray that I will not lead you into temptation, but I will deliver you from evil. Because God can lead me into temptation. God can deliver me from temptation. God can lead me to evil, or God can deliver me from evil. It's up to God to do whatever He wants to. So I pray, Father, forgive me for my trespasses. Father, forgive me. I'm happy in God because I have no sin. If I was laid down with sin, if I had sin within my life, if I had sin within my heart, I'd be so heavy and so under such a weight until I could never be happy. I could never do nothing for God. I could never be in the place to have faith to believe for anybody else, because I would be carrying my sins around. And that's what's wrong with a lot of people today. They're still carrying their sins around. They come to church and they say, hallelujah, I'm a Christian. I feel godly. I feel clean. I feel holy. And then they go out. They make a mistake. They stumble or whatever happens. And the devil begins to talk to them. They say, oh my God, I've sinned. I'm back where I was. See, I got to lay that foundation all over again. That foundation of repentance, here I go again, because I've sinned against God. You know what? If you have sinned against God, if there you go again sinning against God, it means that you never did get in to start with. It means that you're like Esau and all you did was just weep and bawl and call on God, but you never did get in. I said the other night that you can get in, like we go into Mexico or into a country, you can get in on a tourist card. But when you get into the country, that does not mean that you are in the interior in the sense of really being in the country. You've got a tourist card, but if you're going to get way on down into the interior, you got to get past the checkpoint. If you're going to spend any time in Mexico or anywhere else, you got to get past the checkpoint. And when you get to the checkpoint, you're going to have some credentials. You're going to have some paperwork, or you're not going to get down into the interior. So then a lot of people come into the kingdom of God to this extent that they taste of the Holy Ghost. They're made partakers of the gift of God. They feel the grace of God and the blessings of God that's upon the Gentiles today because the blood is on the seat of atonement. They journey to and fro in this wonderful presence of God, but they've never got past the checkpoint. That is, they've never been filled with the Holy Ghost. Not having the Holy Ghost, then that means that they've never got past the checkpoint. Because to get past the checkpoint, you've got to have one credential, and that is the Spirit of Christ. Christ within you, the hope of glory. It is Christ within you. That is the credential that you must have. And the Bible said, believing, we have life through His name. And so then when we think of these wonderful things about serving God and following God, we understand there is a greater sin. There is a greater sin, and there is one that trespasses that does not sin. Now let's dwell on it for just a little longer. He that is born of God, the Bible says he cannot sin because he is born of God. He cannot sin. It does not say he may not sin. It does not say if he walks holy, he won't sin. It doesn't say if he does his best, he won't sin. It says he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now then the question arises, Brother Pike, are you born of God? I am born of God. I am born of the Holy Spirit. I am alive in the Holy Spirit. I am born of the Spirit, and I am covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And through my veins rolls the royal blood of the Son of God. And inside of my heart lives the great, wonderful Christ, which is my hope of glory. So then the question arises, are you a Christian? Have you been born of God? Have you been born of God? Then this is the sin question. Have you been born of God? If you've not been born of God, then I agree with you that you are sinning against God every day. But if you've been born of God, I make the statement that from the time that you was born into the kingdom of God, you have never committed one sin, not one sin. Not one sin. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I've committed some sin. Well, you've never been born into the kingdom of God, because the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And if you're sinning, then you're going to die. Somebody said, but I'm a Christian. You can't be a Christian and sin. There's no such thing as a sinning Christian. I've heard people say, I'm a sinning Christian, Brother Pike. There is no such thing as a sinning Christian. Christians do not sin. Somebody said, well, ain't nobody perfect. Every Christian in the world today is perfect. There is no such thing as an imperfect Christian. You don't find imperfect Christians. God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That means he's made them perfect forever. They're forever perfect. And they're sanctified once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. There is no such thing as a sinning Christian. There is no such thing as an imperfect Christian. All Christians are perfect. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I know this don't agree with your doctrine, but we're talking about the Bible. The Bible said, let every man be a lie. Let the word of God be true. Okay, now when I cross the word of God, somebody stand up and say, wait a minute, Brother Pike. And if I don't, then swallow down and let's go on to the next mountaintop. So then, we are Christians. Hallelujah. That's why that I rejoice. That's why I'm happy. A lot of people say, I'm not happy, Brother Pike. It's because you don't believe. You don't understand. You don't know that your sins are gone. Brother, when you begin to think, my God, my sins are gone, I can't sin. Somebody said, so what? That means I can't die. That's the so what part. If I can't sin, then I can't die. And I like that part of it. Glory to God. When I pass by the graveyards and I go by them and I can sing, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, what victory do you have, oh, graveyard? And I sing the glory of God and go right on praising the Lord. Somebody said, you don't believe that. Oh, yes, I believe that. You're the one that don't believe that I believe that. It's not me, the unbeliever. You're the unbeliever. I believe that. I pass by the graveyard. And I say to my little ones, I say, there, behold that. That is the end of all flesh. But glory to God, I'm not flesh. Hallelujah. Somebody said, you're eccentric, Brother Pike. No, I'm all right. I'm all right. The man said, Paul, you're beside yourself. Much learning has caused you to go crazy. He said, you're mad. No, I'm not eccentric. I passed from death unto life, and God buried the flesh, buried that and done away with that. And the Bible said, he that is born to the Spirit is spirit. We got anybody born to the Spirit? Amen. Must have some people like me. So then, somebody would say, but Brother Pike, you can't be holy in this body. But the Bible said, be holy in body, holy in spirit. You know, a lot of people, they don't associate holiness and righteousness and godliness with the body. You know, they say, well, we're a believer. No, there's more to it than that, folks. We are holy in the body. The people that are trying to get to heaven just by being holy in the spirit are never going to make it. They're never going to make it. Somebody said, well, I'm holy in spirit and I'm a believer in spirit, but I do these things in the flesh. No, if you do them things in the flesh that is of the devil, then it means you are of the devil. If you do them things in the flesh that is of God, it means that you are of God. The child is known by his doings, and his doings is in the flesh. If you do fleshly things and you love fleshly things and you love worldly things and the love of the world is in you, then God is not in you. It means you are of the devil. And if you have the things of God on the inside of you and the love of God on the inside of you and your whole desire to please God, it means that you are a Christian. I said, well, you don't have to holler and get so excited. I can't help it. Hallelujah. I start talking to you in a real soft-like way. Don't you remember? But I get excited. Somebody said, well, why do you get so excited? I get excited because I ain't planning to die. Praise God. I don't have to die. I'm excited about it. You got anybody else? You'll get excited too if you really believe that. So then tonight, I thank God because we have been delivered from the greatest sin. We've been delivered from the sin of the soul. We've been delivered from death. We've been delivered from that sin, that evil sin. Tonight, we don't have any sin. God took away our sins. We're born of God. We cannot sin because God's seed remains within us. He's our hope of glory. So tonight, if we cannot sin, I say again that we cannot die. If we cannot die, then we need to rejoice forevermore. We need to be happy. We need to sing the songs of Zion. We need to believe this. We need to tell people this. Somebody said, they'll get you in the coffin, Brother Pike, and put you in the ground. I'll take care of it. Won't be nothing to that. Jesus said, I'll just go over and wake him up. Lazarus is asleep. Can't die. He just goes to sleep. I was, you know, it's like a fairy tale. Not really. Death, you just go to sleep. I know, but you're just as dead as anybody else, Brother Pike. No, it ain't like that at all, see. It's just a misunderstanding on your part. The man that is a child of God cannot die. There's no way he can die. It doesn't matter if you put him in a well, if you put him in a hole, you put him in the fire like the Hebrew children, you put him in the lion's den like Daniel, he can't die. There's no way he can die. I say, oh, well, he really does. He really don't. He don't die. He can't die. See, what is death? Death is when your spirit is separated from God. Death is not when your body gets weary and tired and lays down to take a nap. That's not death. See, that's not death. That's a world of somebody said, well, there ain't no difference. There is a world of difference. And when I say a world of difference, I mean the world of light and the world of darkness. There's two worlds. There is a world of difference. The man that is a Christian, when that man lays down to sleep, his spirit goes into paradise. It goes into paradise. But a man that is a sinner, when that man lays down into the grave, he goes into hell. His soul goes into hell. Somebody said, well, where do you get that? Because the Bible said, hell shall deliver up its dead. And the grave shall deliver up its dead, which means the body. The soul which is in hell shall be delivered up, and the body which is in the grave shall be delivered up. And the Bible said that the wicked lived not again until a 1,000 years was finished, which means that that resurrection of the wicked, it will come. But it will not come until after the 1,000 years millennium. How can it come then? Because death has been conquered. See, death has been conquered. They couldn't get out of the grave if death had not been conquered. The last enemy to be conquered is death. And the Bible teaches that will come after the millennium. Even all through the millennium, 1,000 years, the wicked will still be in the graves because death has not been conquered for them. They'll still be in the grave, and the wicked lived not again until the 1,000 years was finished. And then the Bible said the wicked will come forth and they'll stand before God in the brightness of his coming. And then God will say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, ye cursed. Depart from me into everlasting fire. And hell will also be cast into the lake of fire. And the grave shall give up the dead, and all of the wicked dead shall depart from God and be cast into the lake of fire. That which burneth with fire and brimstone. So then it is a true fact that when a man lays down in the grave, should he go by the way of the grave and not go the way that Enoch went? If he ever lays down in the grave, if he is a Christian, he is only asleep. Jesus said, Lazarus is asleep, I go to awake him. So then that wonderful sleep of God, that wonderful rest of God, being in the paradise of God. And I say this again, that the rich man died, he didn't go to sleep, he died. The rich man died, and the Bible said in hell he lifted up his eyes. But it said Lazarus, when Lazarus went off of the scene, the Bible said that the angels came for Lazarus. And the angels took Lazarus to Abraham's bosom. It didn't say that Lazarus went into hell. Why didn't Lazarus go into hell? Is God then respect a person? God is not respect a person. Why is it then that Lazarus didn't go into hell? Because the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world so that Lazarus would not have to go to hell. And Lazarus believed in God, and Lazarus loved God, and so Lazarus went to the same place where Abraham was. Abraham was in paradise. Lazarus went to paradise. It was said unto Daniel, thou shalt rest in thy lot. It doesn't speak of the torment of Daniel. It doesn't speak of the torment of Daniel. It said, thou shalt rest in thy lot. So you'll go to sleep, Daniel. And you'll relax and you'll be in paradise and you'll rest. Oh, my brother, let me tell you something. Somebody said, well, this doesn't make any difference. This preaching, this church, and all these things you're doing. But let me tell you something, folks. When you begin to hug your death pillow and that thing begins to choke the life out of you, and it's going to do it. When that devil comes to choke the life out of you and you hug your death pillow and then you're trying to struggle to get one more breath, it's going to make all the difference in the world. You're going to say, hey, that preacher I thought was just acting up, and I thought there wasn't anything to what that preacher was saying, and I thought there wasn't anything to that Bethlehem thing. But there must have been more to it than I thought, because that horrible night of darkness, that horrible night of death, that horrible figure will come around, and as he begins to close in on you, you'll feel the smothering and the choking. And then all that you have, whether it's money, whether it's education, whether you think you're handsome or you think you're pretty, or whether you think you've got something that somebody else hasn't got, or whatever it might be, all of a sudden it'll just vanish into nothing. And you'll say, my God, the one thing that I needed was what that preacher was talking about. And that's to be born again and have faith in God. So then it's a beautiful thing when we talk about the greater dimension of God, the greater place in heaven, and the deeper depths of despair of knowing Satan in the deeper depths. I wish we had more time to elaborate on it. Knowing the difference and being in the different places, there's people at Bethlehem that's in this congregation tonight. And they are not nearly in the place where some others are. People that are sitting in this congregation, they hear the same preaching that you hear, but they are not at all in the depths, they are not at all in the dimension that you are in, others are in. They've never come to that greater place in God, that greater height in God. They are on a lower level altogether. They feel that they're really doing something. They feel like they've got a great calling. And they feel like they've got to do all kinds of things. But they've never even gotten to the level. Not even to the level of moving into anything great with God. Other than just being like a little child. Shall you then take the bottle from the babe? Or shall you then try to choke the baby with meat? Or shall you then oppress the baby and tell him that he don't have anything? Doesn't he have life just as much as you got life? It might be undeveloped life. It might not be skillful. The Bible said he's a babe. Give him milk. He's not skillful in the word. But nevertheless, he does have life. Isn't that right? And he is growing. And who knows what he'll grow to. And then there are some that are drafted that'll never grow any greater. They'll never listen because their ambition is to do whatever they want to do. And they'll never sit at the feet of a teacher or listen at the word of God or do like Paul did to give themselves to this thing. They'll never do it. Therefore, they will never enter into those dimensions. There are others, the Bible said, that the cares of this life will choke out the word of God. And they will never be fruitful. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. And there are those that the cares of this life will come up around them like a vine and choke them to where they'll never utilize their ability of studying and really pressing in for God to get the real revelation of Jesus Christ. So then I say again, there are those that will pass through the tribulation period, and then there are those that will exercise their senses in that the meat is for the strong. They who have by reason exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. So there are those that will grow into a greater place with God and have a greater thing. There are those that will always be temperamental, those that will always be jealous, those that will always be lustful. There are those that will always do their own thing. So then what shall we say, folks? I'm grateful because of the enlightenment that I've received. I'm grateful to be a Christian. I'm grateful to understand it is by His merits, His glory, and His goodness, but I do understand. And I'm grateful that I've been made to understand and I've been made to be blessed. We're trying to do something for God, and you're welcome to work with us. We're doing things in the natural. You'll find me down with the babes. You'll find me down on the level of the babes in the sense of helping them and working with them. Because parents are supposed to lay up for the children. And parents are supposed to be enthused over what the babes are doing. And parents are supposed to do things that's on a level to where the babes can enjoy it. So at Bethlehem, we're doing all kinds of things. All kinds of things to try to aid the babes and to encourage people and to catch people's eye to the right thing to bring about in their life, as we use the statement so many times, the threefold blessing of God. I would above all things that ye prosper in one realm of the natural. I would above all things that ye prosper and be in health, even in the physical. So then I would above all things, brethren, that ye have this. We're trying as Jesus did. Jesus healed the sick. He gave them a physical blessing. Jesus blessed them in the natural. He gave them food to eat. He prepared food for the multitude and fed them the fishes and the loaves. And Jesus gave them the spiritual blessing in that He gave them the word of wisdom and the word of revelation when He said, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood. For if you don't do this, you have no life in you." So then He gave them the threefold blessing that He wanted them to have. One for the body, one for the soul, and one for the spirit. And then He left it in the world in a threefold manner. That there is a people that are given to the natural
the Jews receive an inheritance from God as a natural inheritance. Even Canaan, land of the grapes and of the beautiful things. And then there's a Gentile that receives a blessing in the soul, which is the realm of health and the physical. That is a soul realm. Not that it is the soul in the sense of the spirit, but it is the soul realm. And they receive that blessing of medical aid and all of the things that pertaineth to the soul in the sense of the soul realm. So then there is another that is a spiritual people, even a quickening spirit, those that are chosen of Christ that are spiritual, and they receive the blessing of that which is in heavenly places, that which is in the spirit, and their great interest is in the spirit. Those that are in the natural are, as the Jews, they're interested in their homeland, their inheritance, and protecting their rights to keep their country. Those that are in the physical, that have all the medical, all of those things that pertain to the physical realms of football and baseball and sports and everything else that pertains to human physics, they are protecting their realm and their world. And those that are in the spirit are protecting their realm in the sense of the wonderful joy and peace and revelation and the powers of security in the heavenly world. They are protecting their rights. But, as I say, he that believeth in God, there will come a time and he will inherit all things. All three blessings. I'm going to say this and try to close. All three blessings he will inherit. That is to say, God has given him the natural, God has given him the physical, God has given him the spiritual. The world, therefore, has gone after the natural and lost everything, because they took a terminal life, and in that they lost everything. In that they followed after the natural, they let Satan guide them. They let Satan lead them, in that Satan is the lover of human flesh, and Satan is the lover of the world. And the love of the world is of Satan, and Satan savors the things that be of the world. But he that went after the Spirit, and he that followeth after the Spirit, as Jacob received the birthright. He received the birthright, and because of that, God adds all things unto him, and he receives everything because his life is not terminal, and he receives all things, and that on an eternal basis. So then, to follow after God and let God add these things, to believe in God is to have life and to be eternal and inherit all things. He that overcometh, the Bible said, he shall inherit all things. So then tonight, if you've not inherited all things, you need to overcome. God's got something for us to inherit. In overcoming, you get the hidden manna. And in overcoming, you get all things. And if you don't overcome, then you don't get anything. So I thank God tonight because I've overcome. Oh, Brother Pike, you don't know that you have. Oh, yes, I do. And if I didn't know it, I'd find out why I didn't know it, because I'd do something about it. It'd be a bad situation if he told me to overcome, and then I never would know when I overcome or didn't overcome. How could I ever overcome? Somebody say, praise the Lord. So then, I overcame. How did you overcome, Brother Pike? The Bible said they overcame Lucifer, that is him, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony of Jesus Christ. So that is my testimony to his finished works. God said to Jesus, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It didn't say anything about me having to overcome the world. It said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And you just be strong in the power of my might. The Lord overcame the world. That took care of it. So when the Lord overcame, that was me overcoming. He became my sins, that I might become his righteousness. And he died out of the presence of God, that I might be the living overcomer in the presence of God. So tonight I am the overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and my faith in God and my word of testimony to what the Lord has done. I am an overcomer tonight, that by faith in God. That makes me breathe good, that makes me feel good, that makes me rejoice, because I believe that, because I know it to be a fact. I want you to stand with me. When you overcome, then you don't have any sins. And if you haven't overcome, then, beloved friend, you have nothing but sin. How wonderful it is to be a Christian. A Christian, what is a Christian? A Christian is one that knows all of our life we're under fear. All of our life, we're under fear. We're afraid all of our lives. Say, oh, not me. Oh, yes, you are. The Bible said you are afraid. All of our lives, we are under the bondage of fear of death. From the time we're born into the world, we're under the bondage of the fear of death until we're born again. When we're truly born again and we come to know Jesus, really come to believe, we never have the fear of death anymore. Somebody says, well, I still fear death, Brother Pike. Well, you need to be born again. Because a man that feareth is not made perfect in love. And the Bible said, faith worketh by love. It takes the love of God to work your faith, for by faith you're saved. Without the love, you cannot get your faith to work. Without your faith working, you cannot have salvation. So then it is a true fact that I'm born of God. And he that is born of God cannot sin. And he that is born of God overcometh the evil one. Who is he that overcometh the evil one? He that is born of God, John said. So then it's good. So wonderful to be a Christian, beloved friend. If you're not a Christian, then let me invite you to be a Christian tonight. If you don't know what Christianity is, then come and listen. The woman that stood before Washington or the angel, whatever it was, in that in heaven there's neither male nor female. The angel said, Son of the Republic, look and learn. Come and learn, folks. Come and learn. You know, some people will never learn anything because they feel like they already know. But you that don't feel like you already know, come and learn. There's something to learn. Something to learn. Talked to a man the other day. He went back to his hometown. He was confident that he knew when he come. He was confident that he didn't have to be taught. He was confident when he went back that he knew. I am confident that God has turned him over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and to be damned. And if something don't happen quick, that's what's going to happen to him. But he's confident altogether in another way. The wicked shall not see when good cometh. Why? Because they're blinded by their own conviction of already knowing. How could they see anything else? There is a way that seemeth right, but that path leads to death. Let's sing this little chorus. Do you love the Lord? Oh, I love Him. Oh, yes, I love Him. All because that He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Can you sing with me now? Oh, I love Him. Yes, I love Him. All because that He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation. On Calvary's tree. Can you sing one more time with me? Oh, I love Him. Oh, yes, I love You, Jesus. All because that You first loved me, and You purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you love Jesus? We love Him because He first loved us. We love him tonight because he is with us. He is helping us. How can I rejoice and make a fuss over Jesus if I do not believe that he has done anything for me? If I believe that I'm the one that's overcoming, and I believe that I'm the one that's having to live holy, and I believe that the way I'm going to heaven is the fact that I live good until Jesus comes, then what do I have in my behalf from God to praise God about? Why should I make a fuss over God? Let's face it. If I'm the one that's doing it all, why should I make a fuss over God? There's no point in me making a fuss over anybody if I'm the one that's doing it. But oh, beloved friend, if there is no way that I can do it, if all of my efforts is as filthy rags, and I'm dependent upon the Son of God, and he took his blood at Calvary to get me in, and if it's a true fact that Christ actually took away my sins, and I don't have any sins because he took them away, if that is true, then, and I believe that and I know that, and my, look what I've got to rejoice over. Look what I've got to do in praising his name and saying, glory to God, Jesus, I thank you. I praise you, Lord. There was no way. I can only get in by you and your righteousness. And oh God, I'm so grateful for what you did for me. But you know, so many people don't know that, and so many people are not convicted in that. And so many people, like the Jews, going about to establish their own righteousness, they've stumbled at the righteousness of God, which is in Christ. The man that stood in the temple beat himself on the chest and said, God, have mercy on me. Oh God, I need you. God said, there's an atonement. Even Jesus Christ the righteous, go thy way and be justified. The other man said, I'm holy, I'm godly, I fast, I pay my tithe. I'm not like other men. God said to him, inasmuch as to say, thou hypocrite, lest your righteousness excels your ability, you don't have a chance. Unless you have something to offer me aside from the testimony of your doings, you'll never make it in. For I say unto thee, unless thy righteousness excels that of the Pharisees and the scribes, ye shall no wise enter the kingdom of God. So then tonight, I offer to God the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Christ within me, the hope of glory. The Son of God, even Jesus Christ, my hope of glory. Though I try to live perfect, though I try to think perfect, though I try to walk perfect, though I try to keep all my words perfect, all of my thinking perfect, all of the intents of my heart perfect, though I try to be just as perfect as I possibly can, yet it profiteth me nothing in the righteousness of my soul. My righteousness is of Christ. But the mere fact that I do all of that is what makes me eligible for his righteousness. That when I do all that I can, even though my efforts are but filthy rags, in that I did all that I could to show him that I loved him, that I wanted to do right, that I wanted to be holy, that I wanted to do right, that it's not within man's ability to do that, but in that I wanted to and I made all efforts, then he gave me his righteousness and he made me perfect. If you hold back anything from God, you are imperfect. For until you've done everything in your life and you have exhausted every effort down to the jot and tittle, until you do that, then you don't have his perfection. You say, how can I do that, Brother Pike? According to your knowledge, according to your growth, according to your enlightenment. A baby offers all. Someone that's older offers all. And as you get older, you offer the more to the societies of life. You contribute more. It is expected of you to do more. And people will mock you if you're lazy and careless and won't contribute anything to society. Everybody's got a job, even in the natural. So then it makes me happy to be a Christian. It makes me glad to be a Christian. I rejoice in the fact that I am a Christian, knowing that I've passed from death unto life. I have this wonderful joy and jubilance, this everlasting blessing, even the seal of my spirit by his Holy Spirit that makes me without spot and without wrinkle and without blemish. And the Bible said, in that I have him in my heart, I keep myself, and the evil one toucheth me not. So then is that without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, in his blood, in his love, and his grace, I stand awaiting him, waiting for him to come back, knowing that when he appears, I shall be like him, even spotless. I shall be like him, even holy and eternal. I shall be like him, holy in body, soul, and spirit. Paul said, I seek to present you to God, blameless, body, soul, and spirit, Paul said. So it's good to be a Christian and have the threefold blessing of God. It's good to move into the greater dimensions and love the Lord. Let's sing this little chorus together. Tomorrow's another day, folks. Something else to do. Those that will contribute anything to Bethlehem or to the efforts of Bethlehem, you're welcome to come. Tomorrow's Saturday. There'll be a number of people that are coming from different places that always come over to help us on Saturday. You're expected to do something if you desire to. And we expect your help if you want to give it. And God will greatly reward you because he told me to go hire him and put him in the vineyard. And I will pay him. It's my job to hire him. It's his job to pay him. So tonight, if I can hire you and put you in the vineyard, even though it's the 11th hour, I'll still put you in the vineyard. Some are standing idle in the marketplace at the last hour. But if you get in and you mean business and you don't procrastinate and you don't just play around and make a game out of it, the Bible said they that came in the last hour, God gave them the same as those that came in the first hour. He gave them all a penny, which means he gave them eternal life. We're going to enter God's gates with thanksgiving in our heart. And we're going to enter God's courts with praise. We're going to say, this is the day that my Lord hath made. And I'm going to rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. My Lord made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Sing it with me now. We're going to enter these gates with thanksgiving in our heart. Enter God's courts with praise. We're going to say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. And I'm going to rejoice, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. My Lord made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad. I wonder tonight how many of you are really glad from your heart, if you really have the joy and jubilance of serving God. There's one thing I'm persuaded in, if you do have it, that you'll be doing something every day for God. You'll be praying at night, you'll be fasting, you'll be studying, you'll be calling on the name of the Lord, you'll be helping the needy, helping the poor, you'll be helping the cause of Bethlehem or the gospel throughout the world. In world evangelism, you'll be taking your part and you'll be active in it. And if you're not doing that, it's a true fact that you've never been born again. You're not a believer because the child is known by his doings. Let's sing one more song, can we? Let's sing the song, A Stream is Flowing. Can you sing it with me? There's a stream that's flowing down from Calvary. There's a stream that's flowing, and it cleanses me from sin and shame. Oh, in Jesus' name, that stream is flowing down from Calvary. Sing one more time now. There's a stream that's flowing down from Calvary. There's a stream that's flowing, and it cleanses me from sin and shame. Oh, in Jesus' name, that stream keeps flowing down from Calvary. Don't you love the Lord? Let's just slip our hands up now. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy, that tells you that a king is born, that a shepherd has come to rule over the flock of God, and that the chief shepherd has come to his sheep. How beautiful are the feet of them that publish the glad tidings of great joy, that a Christ has been resurrected from the dead, and that all is well with you, that there's peace on earth now. There's peace on earth now, and goodwill from God toward humanity, toward man. There's a good attitude from God now. He's not angry with man anymore. Peace on earth now, and goodwill from the Heavenly Father towards you. He has a good outlook, a good will towards you, a desirable will to take you into his loving arms and bless you, a desire to see you eternally preserved, a good will toward God or toward man, a good will. All because you are saved by the grace of God, the grace of God, the grace, just the mercy, the kindness of God through the works of Jesus Christ. By the grace of God are you saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God through Christ. Therefore, being freely justified by his grace through our believing in the finished works of Jesus Christ, ye have peace from God, goodwill toward man. You have peace from God and goodwill toward man. God isn't angry with you anymore, folks. Jesus died. God's not angry with you anymore. I know how the devil harasses your mind and tells you that God's angry with you and God's upset with you. And you've sinned the great sin. And God isn't going to love you anymore. And you're gone. And the devil's going to kill you. And it's going to be cancer. And it's going to be a wreck. And it's going to be heartaches. And it's going to be sorrow. And it's going to be problems. And he does that, Satan does, to pervert your faith, to get you to believe in the wrong direction, that your faith might be harassed, your mind harassed, and your faith cast down, to take away the shield of faith that he might penetrate with his fiery darts of evil. The Bible said, taking the shield of faith that you might quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And what is faith? What is the shield? Believing in his mercy, believing in his love, believing in what he's done for you. Faith can have no other foundation than to believe in what God has done. Believe in his promises. Faith by the hearing of the promises of security. You know what, folks? The very fact that you turn to believe that you are the master of the situation through Christ, the very fact that you believe that the devil cannot touch you through the harassing thoughts that he comes to you with, the very fact that you believe what God said, in the sense that he said those things can never harm you, the very fact that you believe it means that you just overpowered Lucifer. You just put him to flight. You just turned him away. You just shut the door in his faith. You just put up the shield and he can't get in. The very fact that you believe what the preacher says to you, the very fact that the Word of God says, I've given you all things that pertain unto life, and the fact that you believe it, in that you say, my, that's the Word of God. Glory to God. I believe that. That shut the door to Lucifer. That was the faith that overcame him. Your confidence in God's promise and God's Word. And Jesus said, thy servant is sick. I will come and heal him. And the man said, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. I am a man under authority. I say, I give my word I say it and that's enough. They obey it. They honor it. They know I'm an authority. They know they have to do that. Sir, I know that thou art a man of authority. All you got to do it is say it in your word, sir. I believe it. Jesus said, oh, great is thy faith. Go thy way. Whatever you believe, that's what you can have. He found his servant healed. Oh, sir, I know that thou art a man of authority. Thou hast promised you'll make it good. Just say it. That's all I want. Just say it. Jesus said, go thy way and be whole, folks. Jesus said, I've given you all things that pertain unto life. Jesus said, to be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Jesus said, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Jesus said, I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. Jesus said, I have given you all things that pertain unto life. It doesn't matter whether it's your wife, your husband, the affection, whether it is your children, whether it is the health, whether it is the happiness, whether it is riches, power, whatever it is. Jesus said, I have given it to you. 32,000 promises. I have, I will, I can, I want you to have it. Jesus said, all of these wonderful things, that you will be like a tree that's planted by the water, and you will bring forth your fruit in your season, and your leaves will not wither, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. Jesus said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus said, be strong in the power of my might. Let him that is weak say that I am strong. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Enter into my rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. I don't have a heavy yoke to hang around your neck. I don't have demands. All I'm saying is to bless you, to love you, to help you. Peace, goodwill towards you. I want to do something for you. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the God that forgiveth all of thine iniquities and healeth all of thy diseases. I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory, Jesus said. Jesus said all of those wonderful things. Isn't that wonderful? All because he loves you and I. These wonderful promises and many, many more given to you so that you might believe that he is the Son of God, that you might believe so that you might have health, that you might believe that you might have eternal life. These things are given unto you that you might know that Jesus has loved you. Jesus said, Father, I prayed for these. Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not in the time of your problems. Your righteousness has already failed, Peter. You're cursing. You're doing everything that's contrary to God, the things that I despise. Your righteousness has already failed. But Peter, even as I caught your hand when you were sinking in the water, when your faith failed you, I pray, oh Peter, I pray for you that your faith and confidence in my godliness and my righteousness shall not fail you in this moment, that your faith shall not fail you to believe in my righteousness till I can get a hold of your hand and catch you, Peter, before you sink into the deep pits of foolishness because of your lack of preparation against the enemy. After that, once he was filled with the Spirit, you never find Peter doing that anymore, do you? Never again do you find him doing that. For Peter's faith didn't fail him anymore. He stood in full confidence, and he stood in full faith, believing in the Word of God. Believing in the Word of God. Folks, don't ever give up your faith. Don't ever give up your faith. And the Bible said, cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense of reward. You go through trials, and you go through problems, and you go through heartaches, and you see your loved ones afflicted, and fear seizes you, because at that time is your greatest weakness. And you say, oh my God, I should have prepared myself more. I should have fortified myself more, that my faith would not have been weak in this moment, that my faith could have been strong. And the Bible said Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory unto God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, that he was able also to perform. He was fully persuaded in the promises of God. The question arises tonight, are you fully persuaded in the promises of God? Are you fully persuaded? Are you strong in faith? Have you the conviction, God, I believe it. You said it. It's going to be that way. Nothing's going to change it. My heart is not going to grow faint. I'm not going to be fearful. I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. You said it. I believe it. And God is going to be that way. I accept it. And when you do that, folks, faith is real. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, I believed and it didn't happen. No, you didn't. Oh, if you believe, it's got to happen. Don't cast away your faith. It hath great recompense of reward. Faith is rewarding. Faith is miraculous. Faith works the miraculous. Faith brings miracles, not just healing, but faith brings miracles, instantaneous miracles. Faith brings miracles in the financial realm, in the physical realm, in the natural realms. Faith brings miracles. People have prayed for rain upon their crops and God brought a miracle. People have prayed for healing in their body and God brought a miracle. People have prayed for security, financial security, and God wrought a miracle. So then God's got a wonderful miracle stored away for every true believer. Every true believer has a miracle coming. Amen. That's right. More than one miracle. God's got miracles, many miracles, to work for you, anybody that's willing to believe. You know, we live on such a flimsy, live in such a flimsy way, on such a level of being up and down and in and out, of lack of concern for God's things and lack of spirituality, that we can't fathom the fact that God works miracles, and that working a miracle is a simple thing for God. That it's a very simple thing for God. Paul said one time to a great ruler, should it be thought an incredible thing that God should raise the dead? Why should we think it incredible that God, who made man, could bring a man up out of the dust? Brother, that's not incredible. That's simple for God. And think how simple he has made it for us just to believe. Somebody say, I don't believe nobody could do that, Brother Pike. Well, I'll tell you what, if you don't believe that you're going to do it, you're in bad shape. If you don't believe that you're going to get up out of the dust, you're in bad shape. While God's going to bring even the wicked up out of the dust. As he is Christ, that is, so are we in him, the power to lay our lives down and the power to take it up. If you don't believe in the resurrection, and if you don't believe you got power over death, you're in bad shape, folks. Somebody said, well, God will bring me up. No, you're supposed to bring yourself up. He said, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, that is, over death. You're supposed to bring yourself up. God will bring the wicked up. They don't have the power to bring themselves up. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Christ in you, the hope of glory, for he said, I am the resurrection. Over which the second death, even that which is after the millennium, the lake of fire, hath no power. That is the powers of consummation. While they're standing here, I'm going to pray for them. If you want to come down, you're welcome to come. Glad to pray for you. Eloise's daughter's having plenty of problems. The doctors are not just sure what it is, whether it's something lodged in the chest or a problem in here, whatever it might be. All they do is experiment on you like you're a guinea pig anyway. They don't really know. They keep on cutting and guessing, diagnosing, and one doctor says it's this and another doctor says it's that, and neither one of them is sure as to what it is. So they don't really know what it is. They can't say because they don't know. But it is a true fact that God knows and God understands and God can heal, and irregardless to what it is, God still heals. So then it is a true fact that God does heal. God does heal and God does care. So then tonight as we pray,
God heals. God is a spirit. God is present. You might not see God, but God is present. I fellowship God all the time. Somebody says, well, I fellowship God too. Well, you must not have much confidence in his reality if you don't believe that he can do anything to help you. Or if you don't believe that he's walking with you and he'll heal you and take care of you and provide for you, you must not have very much confidence in the reality of God. But God walks with you. God heals. God saves. God forgives. God's real. You know, we believe Brother Fontaine is real, but to believe that God's real, that seems so strange. Brother Pike, surely you don't believe God's real in this room, in this church. Now, he's not really here. You know, we just believe he's here. No, no, no. My faith would be foolish if I just believed he was here and he's not here. God said he was here before he ever told me anything about my believing. Are you listening? He didn't say I had to believe anything for him to be here. Are you listening? Somebody said, well, I know if we believe, Brother Pike. He didn't say anything about you believing. He didn't say anything about your faith or my faith or anybody else's faith in believing for him to be here. He said, just gather together two or three of you in my name and I'll be in the midst of you. Wasn't that what he said? Now, so then it don't depend on you and it don't depend on me. But it is believing. How could you gather in his name if you didn't believe in his name? How could you gather in? Together in his name if you didn't believe that the name of Jesus was the right thing. But folks, it doesn't depend on you and I say this a lot of times. Can your unbelief make God's faith of none effect? Can it make the Christ faith of none effect? No. It only magnifies the faith of Christ. God said he will do it. He will do it. I believe that with all of my heart. With all of my soul, with all of my mind, with all of my strength, with all that's in me to believe. I believe that. I believe exactly what he said. You said, well, I know that this sister, that brother, whatever, it doesn't make any difference. I still believe it. It has nothing to do with that. Those that have not been healed in the past, whether by my prayer or anybody else's prayer, it doesn't change my faith. I still believe it. Because there's many that has been healed. And there's many that will be healed because I believe it. So then what we've got to do is believe. If we want it, then we can have it. This building is an erection, is a monument unto God that has been seen by people around the different parts of the world and has been talked about all over the nation, all over the world. Why is it here? Because I believed it. Why is the building sitting down here and the presses and the other things? Because I believed it. Why is the other building going up? Because I believe it. Why is it that God meets the hundreds of thousands of dollars? Because I believe it. Why is it that God sends me into the islands and the different parts of the world? Why is it today that the ministry is in more than every major language of the world? Because I believe it. Somebody said, I did it. No, I believed it. And asked God for it and God did it. God might have used you and you and you and you. But the Bible said, if you believe, so shall men give into your bosom. So then the preparation of man's heart is from God. It happened because I believed it. And not only that, but by faith in God and the love of God, I'm going to believe, and there's more around the world that's working with us. More and more around the world. Greater and greater. The demand is greater. I'm going to believe it because I intend to reach the world for God. I intend to reach the world for God. So then I believe it. I believe it tonight. Though I mock, doesn't matter. I believe it. Though you might criticize in your mind, that just puts you on the shelf, I still believe it. Though you find fault and doubt it, that just cuts you out, I still believe it. And you just fail to be my comrade and you fail to be partakers in my benefit because of your thinking and resentment and fault finding and lack of faith. But I still believe it. It's happened. It's going to happen. It will continue to happen. Let's pray tonight. This girl needs help. She needs a miracle and I believe God will give her a miracle. I really, truly do. If she'll surrender her heart to God, promise God that she'll serve God and do right, I believe that God will give her a miracle. I believe that. God blessed Sister Beachy not too long ago. She'd been under the doctor's care and was in bad shape. And she came up here and was in a dying condition wanting to get back to the doctor down there. And I talked to Atlee about it. And I said, the sister needs to utilize faith. And Brother Atlee, you need to utilize faith. And both of them did. And God worked a miracle. And she went back down there. And the doctor said that her condition was superb. So then,
You can have a miracle from God, a real, genuine miracle from God. And this girl needs a miracle from God. But you're going to have to make up your mind, folks, to go your way and sin no more. Because if you don't do it, a worse thing's going to come on you. God's healed numbers of you, and you went back and you've done worse than you did to start with. And now you're getting in worse shape than you ever was. Financially, physically, and every other way. Because you will not go on with God. You're determined to mix darkness with light. You're determined to do evil. You're determined to do wrong. You're determined to be carnally minded and gullible toward the things of the world instead of walking with Christ. You're determined that you're not going to be a testimony for Christ. You women are determined that you're not going to put your bodies out as a testimony for Christ, to dress holy and to look holy and to be holy. You men are determined the same way, that you're not going to apply your hearts and your minds and your souls to Christ in His way, to be a testimony for Christ. You're determined you're going to do what you want to do. So then what can be done? What can I do? What can anybody else do? You're going to get cancer. You're going to get TB. You're going to get diseases. You're going to be destroyed. You're going to be in wrecks. Everything's going to happen to you. Everything's going to happen to you. Because you're determined that you're going to do it your way. You do it your way. And then you pay for what you do. I told this fellow that tried to commit suicide, I told him, I tried to talk to him, but he'd done it his way. I talked to the other one. He was so sure. He was a fiery evangelist, but it didn't go his way. And one came the other day. He was talking to me up in the tower and said some things that he ought not to have said. And I said, because you did that, I'm going to let God judge between me and you. I said, you knew better than to do what you did in your accusation. Yesterday, the individual came to me and had been hurt bad from what he said, had been physically hurt, and been caught in a terrible bind in all of the things that he was trying to do. You can't do wrong and get by, folks. You can't do it. Let's pray for this girl tonight, and let's believe God. And let me ask her tonight to believe God and trust God and get in and mean business with God. I made the statement, it ain't been but a few months ago. I said one night as these were here, Eloise and the children, I said, the Lord has shown me that Satan is going to attack your family. I told Eloise that. I told the children that. And Satan set in. He has set in. I talked to Sam before that thing struck Sam. See, so let's pray tonight. The devil's going to come down to your house, folks. Somebody said, oh, I can handle him. No, you can't. You can't handle him. Jesus can handle him. You can't handle him. You've got all power over him. If you've got Christ, the hope of glory in your life, you can handle him without any trouble. But otherwise, you can't handle him. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, I know that you can give this girl a miracle. She needs a miracle, Father. You need to do something, Heavenly Father, for that throat. And I feel you doing it right now, because I feel her faith right now. I feel her faith right now. Father, heal that. Heal that throat. I feel the quickening that raised up Jesus from the dead. Heal that throat. Father, heal that chest. God, whatever it is, move it. Heal. Oh God, even as you brought forth that plastic leaf out of the throat of the girl after all those many years of being in school. Father, and let her breathe right. God, even as you healed her, I want you to heal this girl tonight. Heal her. God, heal her body. Let her breathe right. Let her be able to swallow right. Father, let this thing move out of her esophagus. Or, dear God, out of her chest, whatever it might be, move it in the name of Jesus, Father, by your healing, by your power, by your greatness. Heal it. Make it well. Make it well. Work a miracle in Jesus' name. Praise God. I believe God worked a miracle. I'm accepting a miracle. Hallelujah. Father, touch Eloise tonight. Encourage her faith. Encourage her to do the right thing for God. Help her. Oh God, in her Christian experience, break the yoke and bring the liberties of Christ in Jesus' wonderful name. Bless the little ones that come for prayer tonight. Dear God, bless them. And dear God, bless Mac tonight. Help Mac, oh God, to realize the only way to overcome is through prayer and seeking God and believing in God and turning his life over completely to the great God of heaven. Help him tonight to turn his life over to God completely. Lord, that the yoke might be broken. Oh God, grant it. As I feel the mighty anointing of Christ tonight. Father, encourage this faith tonight in this sister. Help her to return, oh God, to the faith that she once had. Remembering that medical aid is not the answer, that many people die, Lord, with a regularity that's under the doctor's care. Hundreds and thousands of them, hundreds of thousands, Father, they pass away day after day that's under the doctor's care. But Father, many others that dare to believe God and continue on, Lord, they live longer and they continue by faith in God, and I feel her faith right now. Lord, as you're stirring her faith, I feel it. In the name of Jesus, heal her and give her a miracle tonight. Grant her a miracle in the name of the Son of God, in Jesus' name. Father, I feel the anointing tonight. I ask you to bless this sister. Lord, this sister has undergone much pressure, oh God, that people do not understand. Lord, her family, her sons, her daughters, trouble. Oh God, but you've given her grace, and she dares to continue to believe. Father, in spite of the tears, the sorrow and the heartache, oh God, in the lonely moments, she still dares to believe and hold herself up in thee, oh God, to believe and to do her job. I want a miracle for her. Work a miracle in the behalf of her children. You're going to do it, Father. I'm accepting it. You're going to do it in your name, Father. Because you delight to do it, you're going to do it. A miracle in her behalf. I'm asking it in Jesus' name, and I believe it, sister. Father, touch this sister tonight. Help this sister. In the wonderful name of Jesus, touch her tonight. Touch her body tonight. Touch her mind tonight. Help her to understand, Father, that if she's to have your blessing, she's got to walk in the light, even as you're in the light. Oh God, there's no shortcuts. Father, there's no way to get around the truth and around righteousness. Lord, it's just exactly the way that you've commanded it. Work a miracle for her. Help her to believe. Help her to turn in your direction. Father, that condemnation of the heart and mind might not be there. God, I ask you to break this yoke that's on this girl tonight. I want you to break it off of her. Break it. Help her to believe. Help her to trust in you. God, that she may have the healing and the blessing of God. Hear from heaven right now. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I charge you tonight to take your hands off of this girl tonight. I charge you to take your hands off of her in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight. Father, heal this person and deliver them in the name of Jesus. Father, tonight I ask you to work a miracle for Sister Dorothy. Dear God, look down upon her tonight to give her extra strength and extra blessing tonight. Lord, help her to believe. God, let her believe in the miracle working power of God. Let her believe in this great, wonderful Christ of Calvary that we believe in tonight. Help her to utilize her faith, to look unto thee and believe like she's never believed before, and give her a miracle. Grant her a miracle. Lift the precious. Oh God, give her joy. Give her abundance of blessing and be with her in added strength. Bless her children. Work a miracle for her children in Jesus' name and for Grady in Jesus' name. Dear God, bless my sister tonight. Help my sister tonight, Lord, to receive a miracle from God. Father, these people are believing for a miracle tonight. God, they need a miracle, and you're going to work a miracle for them. I know that you're going to work a miracle for them tonight. Work a miracle in the name of Jesus. For God, we believe. You know that we believe. And we believe in the behalf of this sister. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, work a miracle tonight for Brother McManus. In the name of Jesus, he needs a miracle, Father. And oh God, may the power that comes from the Christ of heaven come down upon him tonight. And hear from heaven and work a miracle in answer to his prayer. You're going to do it. You're going to do something great for him, Father. Something outstanding for him as he tries to believe, as he tries to press in, as he moves on. Do it tonight, Father. Break every yoke off of him. Satan, I adjure thee by God that you don't come near this boy to torment him or to cause him problems. I plead the blood of Calvary against you. And I adjure you by God to take your hands off of him to the extent that he can have the joy, the peace and the abundance of glory that God wants him to have. And I feel it, Brother McManus. God bless Brother Gary tonight. May the power of God be upon Gary tonight, and may the glory of God be with him. Knowing him in your glory and your blessings and your strength, help him to overcome, Father. For you said, he that overcometh, I will give to him of the hidden manna. And Gary's heart desires the hidden manna. So then tonight, Father, give Gary a miracle. Father, you're not short of miracles tonight. You've got a miracle for every person. You've got something for every individual. Father, you can give us all a miracle, dear God, and then have plenty of miracles left. So tonight, give Gary a miracle. Let a great thing happen in his life. God, tonight I ask you to touch my brother Roger tonight. May the power of God be with him and the blessings of God be with him. Lord, may he overcome. Help him to be more concerned than he's ever been in all of his life about the things of God. Let his enthusiasm grow in such a way that everybody will see, Lord, that he wants to do something. Grant him a miracle. I feel you're doing it right now, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, grant brother, my brother tonight a miracle, oh God. Grant Don a miracle. Let him have a miracle tonight. He needs a miracle in his life. And Father, though everything seems to be crossed up and there seems to be no way, there is going to be a way. You're going to make a way, Father. There's going to be a way. You're that way. And I'm joining my faith with his faith tonight that he's going to have a miracle. I believe it, Father. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I believe it, Don. Praise God. God grant Junior a miracle tonight. There's nothing too hard for God. Oh, God, tonight grant a great miracle. Father, even into the restoration, dear wonderful God, of that which the cankerworm has gotten and that which the caterpillar has taken. Oh, God, for there's nothing too hard for thee. Grant it in the name of Jesus tonight. Grant a miracle. Oh, God, bless him tonight in a special way, in strength and restoration. God, in healing, give him peace of mind. Help him to believe. Oh, God, in Jesus' name I ask you to do it. Father, bless these little ones tonight as I lay my hands upon them. Bless Billy tonight. Give Billy a miracle tonight, Father. May a great astounding thing take place in Billy's life. Grant it. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, grant Brother Clyde a miracle tonight. Oh, God, may he have a special miracle tonight. Oh, God, that he might see the wonderful things of God. And Lord, that he may rejoice, Lord, as he never has. And grant his wife a miracle. I feel you doing it right now. Give her the desires of her heart. Help her to walk with you, Father, and to believe and to love you, that she may have the desires of her heart. And I feel you doing it in Jesus' name. Father, touch Brother Richard tonight. Give him a miracle. May the power of God and the blessings of God be in his life tonight. Lord, you said whoever I bless would be blessed and whoever I curse would be cursed. And I believe that, God, with all of my heart. I believe that I have the power to bless and curse through the name of Jesus. And I'm asking a blessing tonight. May a blessing come down. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus tonight, may there be a blessing. Grant him a miracle. God has been trying to labor and do something for thee. Grant a miracle in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I ask you to do it, Father. Grant Brother Mike a miracle tonight. May the power of God be with him and the blessings of God. And oh God, help us to believe. May these people at Bethlehem believe. And may these people that hear my voice believe, oh God, to the working of a miracle. Oh God, not just to the working of healing, but thou art a God of miracles. I pray that you'd work a miracle in his life. May there be a great miracle, an outstanding thing. May these people that I'm praying for tonight, may they receive miracles, oh God. I pray that they'd receive it. For I believe that you're doing it. I believe they're going to receive it. And I believe we'll hear about it. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, bless Tommy tonight. Work a miracle. Help him to believe. Oh God, help these people not to cast away their faith, Lord, which has great recompense and reward, but to know that there is a miracle in their life and in their home. Work it for Tommy in the name of Jesus. And oh God, touch Richard tonight. May there be a great miracle in the life of Richard tonight. God, you worked a great miracle in this boy's heart and this boy's life. Lord, you worked a great miracle in restoring him to health and to strength and mentality. And dear God, tonight,
May he believe the more. May he believe the more, and may he grow greater, Lord, with more confidence, with more relaxation, with more assurance in that you've already done the great thing in his life. May he relax, oh God, in such a way to have the wonderful blessings and joy of God. I ask you to bless this brother, Father. Bless Brother Stan. May there be a miracle in Stan's life. God, give him that miracle that he desires. Give him that blessing that he desires. May he have a miracle tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. May the great God of heaven work a miracle and break the yoke from off of Stan, Father, that would hinder his faith, that would hinder this thing that you would like to do in his life. Satan, I adjure thee by God to take your hands off of this man. I charge thee in the name of Jesus that you do not harass his mind, nor his family, nor his body in any way, that he might have the miracle that God would work in his life. In Jesus' wonderful name tonight, God, work a miracle, oh God, in Willie's life tonight. May he receive the blessings of God. May the yoke be broken. Father, as I look away to heaven tonight, heal this body, deliver this body, deliver this mind. Bring the peace that can only come by faith. Help this man to believe in the supernatural of God. Help him to confide in the supernatural, looking beyond his human reasoning. For, oh God, if we don't look beyond our human reasoning, if we stay shackled by the human thinking, Father, and the human reasoning, God will never have a miracle. Let us trust in God and look beyond human reason. May this man look beyond human reasoning tonight. Oh God, and trust in the unbelievable. Father, that which we cannot touch, that which you cannot see, that which is abundantly above all that we can ask or think, let us just trust in the fact that Jesus said it, and because he said it, we are eligible and we want the miracle in Jesus' name. I ask you to do that in the name of Jesus for Larry. Father, touch Larry. Break the yoke from off of Larry. Move the carnal things that try to bind Larry. And let him have the miracle from God that he wants. Satan, I adjure thee by God and by the spilt blood of Calvary that you take your hands off of this man and stop hindering this man's life. Stop hindering the growth of this man in God. I adjure thee by God to take your hands off. I plead the blood against you. In the name of the Son of God, grant him a miracle, Father. Grant Johnny a miracle tonight. May the blessings of God be upon Johnny tonight. And may he believe with all of his life, with all of his strength, with all of his heart, in the wonderful supernatural of God. Father, believe it. Oh God, I believe to see. Grant him a miracle in Jesus' name. Father, touch Brother Jimmy tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. Grant him a miracle tonight. Help him to look beyond the realms of human reasoning and trust in the living God. And grant him a miracle in the name of Jesus. Bless little Jesse in Jesus' name tonight. Father, bless Vince tonight. May Vince receive a miracle tonight. Oh God, let us believe with all of our heart, knowing that there's nothing too hard for God. Grant a miracle in Jesus' name. God, grant Mike a miracle tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, help us to look away to Calvary, to the world of miracles. May there be a great miracle. I'm expecting many miracles, Father, to come out of these prayers tonight. I'm expecting many miracles. God, one miracle right after another. Grant it in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Bless this little one in Jesus' name tonight. Father, grant Michael a miracle tonight. May the blessings of God be upon Michael tonight. May thy blessings, thy glory, thy kindness come nigh to Michael. Satan, I adjure thee by God that you take your hands off of Michael. I plead the blood against you. God, touch Michael. Break this yoke of carnality off of Michael tonight. May he look beyond his human reasoning. Oh God, not to walk in the flesh, oh God, knowing that we cannot please thee. But may he walk in the faith of Christ and in the Spirit of Christ. And may he meditate in the laws of God and in the thoughts of God. May he look away beyond his human reasoning. Oh God, that you might grant him a miracle in Jesus' wonderful name. God, grant these sisters a miracle tonight. May this sister have a miracle tonight. She wants to stand up for God and she wants to be a testimony for God. And Lord, she's having conflict. But I adjure thee, Satan, by the blood of Jesus to leave this woman. And don't touch this woman anymore. Stay away from her in the name of Jesus. Grant her a miracle. I feel you doing it, Father, in Jesus' name. God, grant this girl a miracle tonight. May the blessings of God be upon her tonight and the great miraculous of God work in her life. May everything be taken away from her, Father, that's unlike thee.
And may the great Spirit of God be upon her life. May she think upon God. Though she's young, Father, help her to realize that life is short, few days and full of trouble. And oh God, that the gift of God is eternal life. Grant her a miracle in Jesus' name. Bless this little one tonight in the name of Jesus, Father. Grant this sister a miracle tonight. Oh God, as she looks away to Calvary tonight, trusting in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Father. Yea, and I say unto thee that I have not left thee alone. I have not forsaken thee. I am with thee. And even though thou hast been very discouraged, I have not cast thee down. Neither am I departed from thee. I say unto thee that if thou shalt walk in my way, if thou shalt humble thine heart, if thou shalt look unto God in his greatness, and if thou shalt be in remembrance of my greatness, saith God, and the things that I have promised, then I shall visit thee. Yea, I shall visit thee, and I shall bless thee, and all shall see my visitations, saith the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to bless this sister. Dear God, I ask you to look down and grant her a miracle tonight. May the blessings of God be here tonight. May the glory of God be here tonight. Grant the sister a blessing tonight. Grant her a miracle tonight. Oh God, grant it in the name of Jesus. Let the miracle of God come to her life in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Father, bless Sister Marcia tonight. May the miracle of God come to her life. Bless her tonight. Bless her companion. May the Spirit of God be upon this sister. Oh God, help her to never be lighthearted, but always serious in the mind of God, always looking unto Jesus. I feel her faith right now. Father, to heal and grant her a miracle. Break the carnality off. Move it away. Help her to get out of human reasoning. Oh God, believe. Look beyond human reasoning. Oh God, in the trust and the confidence of God in the great miraculous. Grant her a miracle. Grant her a miracle. Satan, I adjure thee by God. Take your hands off of this woman. I charge thee by the blood of Jesus Christ to take your hands off. Father, break this yoke and bring a miracle into this life tonight. Bring a miracle into this life. Bring a miracle into this life in Jesus' name. Father, touch this sister tonight. Grant her a miracle tonight. Heal and save and forgive. And oh God, help her to know that the anointing breaks the yoke. And Father, that whoever we bless will be blessed, and whoever we curse will be cursed. Therefore, let her believe tonight as we pray the prayer of blessing. May she believe tonight. May these people believe tonight. May the fear of God be in their hearts to know tonight, Father, that we have the power to bless or to curse through Jesus Christ our Lord tonight. So then bless this young girl. Grant her a miracle. Break the yoke off of her. Satan, I adjure thee. Leave this girl in Jesus' name tonight. Father, touch this sister tonight. May there be a miracle tonight in this life. Oh God, may you grant her a miracle. Help her to look away to Calvary, knowing that there is none good but the Father of light. And oh God, that we cannot trust in our righteousness, neither do we need to feel condemned over our fault. But oh God, trusting in thee, you will not fail me, Father, as the song has said. Trusting in me, oh God, you'll see me through. I feel you working a miracle for her now. Lord, the yoke is broken. And oh God, her faith is going up to thee, and the anointing of God is going into her body. May it be so. Heal and bring a miracle in this life in the wonderful name of the Son of God. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, may this sister receive a miracle tonight. May the healing of God be here tonight. May the blessing of God be here. Let her take courage tonight. Oh God, though she walks a lonely path, Lord, without her companion right now, yet, Lord, you will restore and the day will come. Lord, you'll soon bring it to pass. Lord, that they'll be together and have a chance to prove to you whether they want to walk with you or not. Father, to keep those things in the future bright with the love of God. May she be healed. May she be blessed. May she be strengthened. May she take courage, Lord, to believe in the behalf of her own heart and life and her companion. Bless the little one tonight in the name of Jesus. Bless the sister tonight. May the miraculous of God be here. And I feel it, Father. I feel as I pray for one person right after another. I feel the miraculous of God. I feel the miracle of God. Bless this sister.
Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Yea, I see thee tonight, and I know that you walk in a lonely way. I know that you need strengthening. I know that you are near to despair many times, not understanding. But if thou shalt favor me, if thou shalt walk with me, if thou shalt do the things that I say unto thee, if thou shalt trust in me, yea, I the Lord shall help thee. Yea, I shall bless thee, and I shall strengthen thee. Despair not, take courage. I the Lord, I am with thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, when no one else can help thee, I can help thee, and I will help thee if thou shalt believe. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, touch this sister. May the blessings of God be here, and may the yoke be broken tonight. And oh, God of heaven, touch this sister. Lord, help her not to be carnal. Help her to be spiritual. Help her to know that God is a spirit. And the only way to make contact with God is to look beyond human reasoning. Oh, God, abundantly above all that she can think. Lord, to trust in His Word. Lord, not to reason it out. Don't let these people try to reason, my Father. For Lord, you said if they leaned to their own understanding, then you could not reach them. But in the mind of Christ, in the finished works of Calvary, to believe, to look beyond their reasoning. Oh God, not to lean to their own understanding or thinking, but think your thoughts and think of your promises and think of your word and think of your righteousness. Oh God, and break the yoke. Satan, I adjure thee by God to move your hands off of this girl. Work a miracle, Father, in the name of the Lord tonight. Father, work a miracle in this life tonight. Help this sister to see that to walk in the ways of Christ is the only way. And oh God, that there is no other way, Father, for her to have peace, Lord, in her mind and have peace in her home. There's no other way, Father, for if she reasons, oh God, then her reasoning is against thee. And oh God, she can never have faith and she can never have the blessings of God that she needs. Help her therefore to render unto thee her soul and her life and forget her ability to do things, oh God, or forget the things that have happened in the past, Lord, in the sense that she feels that she has been mistreated. For oh God, we all go through all of these things together. And Lord, you said we're not taken with any temptation except that which is common unto man. So therefore, in the name of Jesus, knowing that all things have happened to all people alike, I ask you in Jesus' name to help her trust in the reasoning of God and not to reason in her heart. Give her a miracle in Jesus' name. Father, touch this sister tonight. Help this sister to understand, oh God, that no matter what comes or what is said, that if she'll trust in God, if she'll believe in God, that you'll work a miracle in her life. Father, there is nothing too hard for you. You can work a miracle, Father, for my sister tonight. She needs a miracle, Father. And I want you to work a miracle. Work a miracle in her body, in her mind, in her home. Oh God, with her children, work a great miracle. I feel her faith going up to you right now, Jesus. May the great Spirit of God grant a miracle from the throne of God in Jesus' name tonight. Father, bless this sister tonight. Grant her a miracle tonight. May the blessings of God come into her life. May she believe. May she be loose from the yokes, God, of sin and of evil. Oh God, may the blessings of the Lord come down. Father, hear from heaven tonight in Jesus' name. Grant this little one a miracle. Bless her in the name of Jesus tonight. Bless these little ones tonight in the name of Jesus. God bless Rich in the name of Jesus tonight. Bless Brother Darrell in Jesus' name tonight. May there be a miracle in his life. Father, this man needs a miracle in his life. And I'm asking you for miracles tonight, not just for healing, because I believe that you are a miracle-working God. Lord, you've worked many miracles for me. I feel his faith right now. Let it be a miracle. Grant it. Grant it. Oh God, grant it in the wonderful name of Jesus. And I believe he did, Darrell. God, in Jesus' name, bless this little one. Bless her. Protect her. Watch after in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Father, bless these little ones tonight. Bless this little lady in Jesus' name. May the blessings of God be upon her. Bless this little sister. Father, grant a miracle. Oh God, let there be a miracle. Let her believe in God tonight. to look beyond her reasoning, to trust in the living God. Bless this little girl tonight with a miracle, Father. May she be blessed in the lovely name of Jesus. May this sister be blessed tonight. May there be a miracle in her life. Oh God, help her to understand that unless she walks in the ways of God, unless she listens to the word of God, that down the road there's great heartaches that are waiting. Oh God, but if she walks with Thee, the blessings of the Lord will be upon her. Grant this miracle in Jesus' name tonight. Help the sister to understand that You see the very thoughts of her heart. And oh God, that human reasoning is the greatest enemy of God. Father, may she not reason. Oh God, may she not be of a doubtful mind. For Lord, Thou hast fed the little sparrows. Thou hast provided for them. Thou hast provided for the lily of the field. Oh God, how much more for us, Lord, that dwell in houses of clay. I feel You breaking the yoke. I feel her faith going up to God. You're going to work a miracle. I feel You working a miracle in her life right now. Work a miracle in the name of Jesus. Father, work a miracle. This sister needs a miracle tonight. Lord, she's raised her faith in God. Lord, the heavenly banner she's tried to hold up high in spite of all of the heartaches and the sorrow. Her testimony has been that God will, He can, He'll stand by me. And God, You are going to stand by her. In the name of Jesus, it's Your delight to stand by her. And oh God, You're going to prove Yourself to her by giving her a miracle. I feel it in the name of Jesus. God, bless Sister Sue tonight. Give her a miracle. May the blessings of God be upon her. May the power of God be in her life tonight. Give her a miracle, God. Let there be a great healing, a great outstanding thing. Oh, God, give her a miracle in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, bless this sister tonight. Give her a miracle, Father. And help her to see tonight, oh, God, that she's got to walk according to the will of God. Father, she's got to listen to Your thoughts and not to her thoughts. And oh God, be willing. For You said if we'd be willing and obedient, we would eat the good of the land. Restore, bless, strengthen tonight. May the blessings of God be upon my sister. I want You to break the yoke and work a miracle. And I feel You working a miracle in this life. Work a miracle in the name of Jesus. Bless this little one tonight, oh God. Bless her in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight. Bless this little sister in the name of Jesus. May Thy blessings be upon her tonight. Lead her and guide her. Prepare her heart, oh God, in the great miraculous blessings of God. Father, bless this sister tonight. May You grant her a miracle. Oh God, she's come by faith. And Father, she stood with the people and she's made her stand. Oh God, boldly, Lord. Lord God, irregardless of the cause, she's determined to stand for God. Strengthen her faith, lift her up, cause her to come into that great, wonderful place, the spiritual place of having the hidden manna. Lord, heal, save, forgive, work a miracle in Jesus' name, and I feel You doing it. God, work a miracle in this life tonight. May the blessings of God be upon this sister tonight. Help her not to reason, but oh God, help her to see that she must do what You tell her. Lord, because heartaches, oh God, are many. And when heartaches come, Father, they don't leave overnight. Sometimes they linger for months, and sometimes they linger for years. Oh God, help us to agree with our adversary quickly whilst we are in the way. Lest at any time You should deliver us to the judge, and the judge should deliver us to the jailer, and the jailer should cast us into prison. And then, oh God, we should not come out for the many months or years until we paid the uttermost Father. And hear from heaven and grant a miracle in the name of Jesus. Father, grant a miracle to this sister tonight. May the power of God be upon her and the blessings of God be upon her tonight. May she believe for her children. May she believe for her home. May she believe for her soul. Help her not to reason. But, oh God, look beyond human reasoning. Oh God, to believe, to trust in Thee. God, to speak only those things that are godly and to think only those things that are godly and to walk in the ways of righteousness, in the ways of the Lord, and let her conversation be in the Lord and be in heaven. Oh God, that Satan might not have a chance, oh God, to hurt her heart, her home, her companion, her children. Hear, Lord, and break the yoke. Hear, Lord, and work a miracle. Work a miracle. Lift the faith up. Satan, I adjure thee by God that you take your hands off of this sister in the name of Jesus, Father. Grant a miracle tonight, oh God, to this sister. May in the name of Jesus, thy spirit be upon this sister tonight. Help her not to reason in her mind, oh God. Help her to see. Oh, Ramandarama Shandara Messiah. Help her to see, God, that beyond the veil. Oh, Ramandarama Shandariyatara Messiah. Even though she's never seen, let her see, oh God, beyond the veil. And work a miracle in this life. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus. Bless the little one in the name of Jesus tonight. Father, bless this darling little child in the name of Jesus tonight. May the Spirit of God be upon it. Bless it. Heal its little body in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's sing another chorus together. Now, I felt God tonight. I really, genuinely, in a great and in a mighty way felt God tonight. I felt God work some miracles. And I'm fully persuaded and I'm fully convinced that there is going to be some miracles that take place from this prayer tonight. These prayers and people are going to receive some miraculous things and some outstanding things in their life that they're going to acknowledge and testify to. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. We sing this song, Into My Heart. Let's sing it, folks. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, just come in today. Oh, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Can you sing one more time with me? Come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads together now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. While you've got your heads bowed in a word of prayer tonight, think on Jesus. As Brother Fontaine comes tonight, I'm going to ask him to come and dismiss us in a word of prayer. Think on these things tonight, folks. Think about faith. I'd love to elaborate more on faith, and as the days go on, I'll do my best to do it. But do something. The hour is here for blessings. The hour is here for God to bless the church. Did you know that? The church has been going through a great travail and a great problem while the world has rejoiced. But did you know the time is here for God to bless the church and the church to receive a great and a mighty blessing? Not just religious people, not just anybody, but the church. And so tonight, let's set our faith toward God, and let's get our hearts right toward God, and let's do everything we can tonight to find the favor of God that He might bless us, because He's going to bless. He's done told me He's going to bless. And when God says, I'm going to bless, they will be blessed. When God says, I'm going to bless, they will be blessed. Jacob said, I blessed him and he will be blessed. Isaac said, I blessed him and he will be blessed. That was their attitude.
So then when God blesses, you will be blessed. So tonight, let's get the blessings of God. You're the sheep of His pasture. Let's enjoy the blessings of God tonight. Let's set our faith in His grace and mercy tonight. Hallelujah. I feel God. Don't you feel God tonight? Hallelujah. I feel God tonight. Praise God. God's going to do something for Brother Tom, his wife. He's going to do something for her. I felt a faith go up to God tonight. I felt it. And if she'll believe, if she'll accept what I'm saying, don't let reasoning get in the way. Believe what I'm telling you tonight. God will do something extra special in that home, and you'll be able to hear about it. God will bless you. God will help you. Many that I prayed for tonight, God's going to bless you. He let me know I felt the yoke break. I felt the Lord break the yoke tonight. For as our brother comes tonight, then we're see what my wife is wanting. She's coming up tonight. Wants prayer. Okay, as I pray for Gracie tonight, Gracie believes. Gracie has really done well here as of late. I was just telling my wife, she has tried to make a change. Satan has tried to aggravate her and draw away from her steadfastness in God and get her mind in every direction but God. But young folks, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. You can look in the right direction. You can do the right thing. You don't have to be dead and in your grave practically before you believe God. You don't have to be 70 years old. You don't have to be 35 years old. All you got to do is believe God. You got a mind. You got thoughts. You got a heart. All you got to do is believe God. That's all. You young folks. You know, I see these little bitty boys and girls standing out here. I've said this a lot of times. I've challenged my Danny and Joe just to build faith in their heart. And I said, I challenge you, Joe, to believe. You said you wanted a bike. You said you wanted this. You wanted the different things. I challenge you to believe. You believe God. Try it and see if it don't work. And I've seen them shout and holler, Daddy, it works. It works. Gracie has used it. And it has worked. It'll work for you. It'll work for David back there. David Jameson. It'll work for these right here. Out of the mouth of sucklings and babes, God has perfected praise. The Bible says He has. So tonight you can believe, little folks. You can believe. Why don't you little people try that? Some of you girls and boys that's in school. Why don't you try your faith? Why don't you try your faith? How many of you believe that Jesus had faith at the age of 12 years old? How many of you believe that Jesus had faith during His lifetime? Sure He did. Why don't you believe He was your example? Why don't you believe there's something that you want? There's something that you'd like to have. God will work a miracle for you little bitty people. Brother Pike challenges your faith tonight. I challenge you tonight. Try it and see if it works. Tell God what you want and go pray. And ask God and see if God don't. But when you pray, believe He's going to give it to you. Don't doubt. Don't let nobody tell you nothing else. Say, Brother Pike said it. God said it, and I believe it. It's going to happen. I don't care what I think. I don't care what kind of thoughts come to my mind. I don't care what nobody tells me. God said it. Glory to God, it's mine. And I tell you what, you'll come back and say, Brother Pike, glory to God, this thing works even for the youth. I guarantee He'll do it. Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, work a miracle for Gracie. Father, break the yokes tonight. May there be a miracle tonight in the life of Gracie. Lord, may my little daughter have a miracle. I feel You working a miracle right now because I feel her faith. Lord, she's come up through this. She's traveled with us. She knows it's real, and I feel her faith in God right now. I feel the greatness of her faith rising up. Let there be a healing. Let there be a deliverance. Let the desire of her heart come. Let there be a miracle in the infilling of the God of heaven, the mighty Holy Ghost. Let it be. I feel it. I feel God. I feel God pouring the Holy Ghost into your soul tonight. Heal and save in Jesus' name as the tears roll down her cheeks. Father, bless my wife tonight. May the great miracle of God be in my wife's life. God, she believes. You know that she's believed. Oh God, down through the years. And she stood by Him and refused to do anything else. And oh God, believing. Father, she's helped me standing by my side, believing for the miracle that came because of her faith. I've seen it come, Father, because of her faith. Heal and forgive and bless. Strengthen and give her a miracle in the name of Jesus. Father, bless this sister tonight. In the name of Jesus, I want a miracle for this life.
I want a healing and a blessing. I want something done for this home and for the children. I want Jerry to receive a miracle. Heal in the name of Jesus. Deliver in the name of Jesus. Filled with the glorious Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Grant that miracle. I feel that miracle in the name of Jesus. I feel it, Father, in the name of Christ. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. I feel a miracle tonight. Father, bless this little one in the name of Jesus tonight. May this little one be blessed. Heal his precious little body in Jesus' name tonight. Father, bless this sister tonight. May she receive the blessings of God. May there be a miracle. Oh God, let there be a miracle. Hear from heaven. Oh God, the privilege of faith. God, I believe tonight. Lord, the privilege of believing. I want to believe. Father, I enjoy believing, Father, to see the great miracle of God. Grant it in Jesus' name tonight. Father, grant Sister Faye a miracle tonight. May the blessings of God be here tonight. May the blessings of God be here tonight. May the greatness of God here. Grant a miracle in Jesus' name. Grant Sister Frances a miracle. Father, you have granted Sister Frances a miracle numbers of times. And oh God, she's a living miracle now, walking and talking with you and still doing things for God and overcoming and being an inspiration, Lord, to this campground and to the people. God doing her job. Grant her strength. Grant her life. Grant her blessing. Grant her health. Grant her youth in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, in Jesus' name tonight. Father, grant this sister a miracle tonight. Father, you've granted Sister Anna a miracle. Oh God, a miracle of healing, a miracle of blessing. Father, and she continues in her great faith to go on, believing, oh God, Lord, for her children, believing for her brother, believing for a loved one, believing. Oh God, I feel her faith and the miraculous. I thank you, Lord, for these women that believe. I thank you. They strengthen my hand. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, grant Sister Linda a miracle tonight. Father, the miraculous has worked in her life numbers of times, Father. And Father, when she would have departed from this world, she believed. God came down and God undertook. Lord, she stood by the side of her companion and she stood by Sister Betty. Lord, she stood by this ministry. Father, grant a miracle. Grant a miracle. Father of heaven, grant a miracle in the life of Linda tonight. Oh God, may that miracle be there. I believe in a miracle. Help her look beyond her reasoning tonight. Trusting in that, oh God, that she cannot see, that she cannot think, that she cannot hear, oh God, in the natural. But help her to believe. Lord, believe in it anyway. In the name of Jesus, to meet every need. Father, grant this sister a miracle tonight. She's been down many hard roads. And oh God, she's had much trouble and much problem in her life. But she still dares to believe. Father, she believes tonight. May her faith be rewarded. Oh God, you said hold fast our faith. Don't cast it away. It hath great recompense and reward. Hold it to the end in the name of Jesus. Father, bless this little one tonight. Touch this precious little child in the name of Jesus tonight. And Father, grant this sister a miracle tonight. May the power of God be in this home and in this life, in this mother's heart, and dear wonderful God in the daddy's heart. Grant a miracle in that home to the children. Break every yoke. Help her to move beyond human reasoning. Oh God, to look into heaven. Father, to believe in the power of God and in the things of God. I adjure thee, Satan, by the power of God and the blood of Calvary, to take your hands off of this home, off of this mother, off of the daddy, off of the baby, away from this home. I adjure thee by God, move away from this home. In the name of Jesus, I ask for a miracle, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, grant a miracle right here in the name of Jesus. Bless this person. May the miraculous of God be in this life, in this great power of stability that I feel tonight, this great communication that I have with God here. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, let it be. Help this sister to realize tonight, God, that you're looking at her heart. And she's got to walk circumspectly before thee, oh God, because you see her mind, you see her life, you see her motives, you see her intent, and to have the blessings of God. Father, she's got to honor thee. She's got to humble her heart to thee. She's got to be spiritual minded. She's got to be interested in the things of God and not the things of the world and not the things of the flesh, but the things of God. Break the yoke, Satan. I adjure thee by God. take your hands off of this woman in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Father, may she purpose in her heart to be godly and to be holy and to walk upright before Thee, to be a testimony, a living testimony to the other young girl. Heal tonight and grant her a miracle. I feel her faith in God tonight. May there be a miracle in Jesus' name tonight. And Father, grant this sister a miracle tonight. Father, may her dad be blessed tonight. Touch her dad tonight. Touch his body tonight. Touch her husband tonight. Touch the home tonight. Oh God, break the yoke. Satan, I adjure thee by God. Take your hands off of this woman in the name of Jesus. Grant a miracle, and I feel your blessings right now, my Father. Touch this little sister in Jesus' name and bless her. Father, grant a miracle to this sister in the name of Jesus. God, you see this sister. Lord, her and her companion has come up in these wonderful ways of God. Let her enjoy it, Father. Let her believe. Let her take part. Let her believe in the supernatural. And Father, realize where she's at and where she's been, and take part and enjoy this wonderful gospel. God, of this wonderful, miraculous power. Let her have the blessings of her home, the healing of her body, the blessings of her children. Oh God, move her mind into the wonderful confidence of the greatness of God and His power. Grant the blessings to this little lady tonight. Oh God, move the condemnation out of the heart of this little one tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, she wants to do right. She wants to be blessed of God. But oh Lord, there's a great conflict. But may the conflict move, and God, all that hinders her, and oh God, that which keeps her from being sincere. She wants to be sincere, but being self-conscious, Lord, it bothers her. Satan, I adjure thee by God, leave the little sister in Jesus' name. Father, bless this little sister in the name of Jesus, and help these little sisters tonight to know, dear God, that your blessing is with them and that they can use their faith. Oh God, that they can be great and mighty in the power of God. Father, for even at the early age of 12, Father, you astounded the wise men. God, with this great power, this great faith, may it be upon my youth. Heal, save, and forgive, and anoint in Jesus' name. Bless this little one tonight in Jesus' name. Father, bless this little sister tonight. Help her to see tonight, God, that you're looking at her heart. And oh God, the only way to have the miraculous, miracle-working power of God in her life, Father, is to turn her mind towards spiritual things and godly things. And oh God, never let deceit lodge in her heart. Oh God, never let her look in the wrong direction. But Father, let her look in the right direction. Make her a blessing. Heal her body. Forgive her. Oh God, and teach her the ways of the Lord in Jesus' name. Bless this little girl tonight. Father, may the Spirit of God be upon this little sister. And oh God, may she be a blessing. May the power of God that I feel right now surge through her body as I feel her faith in the Lord tonight. May it break the yoke, Father, and may she be healed and blessed in Jesus' name. Father, bless my sister tonight. May the power of God be in her life. And oh God, may it be in her companion's life. May the little ones be blessed. Be in remembrance of this home. Oh God, help her not to reason. Father, for reasoning is contrary to Thee. But oh God, believe. Help her to believe tonight in the name of Jesus. Work a miracle. Father, for this home, for this life, they need a miracle. Work a miracle. In the name of Jesus, I feel faith. Father, touch this little one in the name of Jesus tonight. May the great Spirit of God be upon this precious little one in the name of Jesus tonight. Father, touch this sister. In the wonderful name of Jesus, may she receive a miracle. In the name of Jesus, my Holy Father, may she turn her heart toward Thee, her faith toward Thee, her confidence toward Thee. May she get out of the realms of human reasoning and look up yonder, Father, to Thee. Oh God, believe in that supernatural, that wonderful supernatural. Hallelujah, and I feel faith. Father, bless this sister tonight. The wonderful name of Jesus tonight, may she believe in the supernatural. Oh God, give a miracle in this life. Oh God, I feel you doing it. I feel her faith. Grant a miracle in the name of Jesus tonight. Grant this miracle. Hear from heaven. Grant a miracle for this home. Lord, these children, this husband, this wife, in the name of the Son of God, grant it. Glory to God, I feel Him doing it. Father, touch this sister in the name of Jesus. Help her, Father. Oh God, give her a miracle tonight. Father, they need a miracle in this home, oh God. Father, deal with the heart of her companion and help him to see, oh God, that there is nothing in this world, but Father, that everything is in Jesus. Work a great miracle, my Father. Let your faith come down from heaven. Straighten out everything in this home with the children. Among all of them, grant it, Holy Father, in Jesus' name, grant it. Heal and forgive in Jesus' name. Father, bless this sister tonight. Grant a miracle in the name of Jesus. They need a miracle in this home. May the great miraculous of God be in this home. May it be in the heart of the husband. And God, may the children be blessed with a miracle. Father, break the yoke of carnality from off of this sister. Lord, that she might not reason within her mind, but that she might look away to God. Lord, for reasoning of the mind is the enemy of God. But let her look to the supernatural. Let her not be naturally minded, Father, to lean to her own understanding. Father, not to trust in her ability, but God, to trust in thee tonight. Look away to heaven. Oh, God, help her to look away to heaven. Oh, God, help her to look away to heaven tonight in the miraculous of God to heal and forgive, that you might bless to break the yoke. Grant it in the name of Jesus tonight. Father, grant a miracle tonight. Help this boy tonight to receive a miracle in his life. May the blessings of God be upon him. May the great strength of God be here tonight. Here, my Father, lead him, guide him, woo him in his heart to thee, Father, and draw him to that great, wonderful blessing of God. Lord, that when he looks around that the world hath nothing to hold in comparison to that great God of heaven, in Jesus' name, bless these darling little children as I lay hands upon them, Father. Bless them in the miraculous way tonight. Give them the blessings of the Lord. Father, bless Kimbler tonight. May the Spirit of God be upon him. May the blessings of God be here. Break the yoke from off of Kimbler. Give him a miracle. Help him, Lord, to realize that the world has nothing to hold. Father, that in Jesus is everything. And help him to look away to heaven in the name of Jesus. Satan, I adjure thee by God tonight. Take your hands off him. I plead the blood of Calvary against you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In Jesus' name, work a miracle tonight for Brother Richard. Help Brother Richard to understand, Father, that to be spiritual minded is the answer. And oh God, to be caught away in the wonderful meditation of God even day and night. Father, casting down every thought and imagination of the heart, bringing the captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ to every thought. Grant a miracle. Heal, forgive, grant it. In the name of Jesus tonight, God grant Bill a miracle tonight. May the power of God be there. May he look beyond the human reasoning tonight. Oh God, have this miracle in the name of Jesus. I feel his faith going up to you. This home needs a miracle. Grant a miracle, Father. Father, hear my prayer tonight. Hear my words tonight through the Son of God. Hear them in the name of Jesus. Break every yoke in the name of Jesus and work a miracle in this life tonight. Oh God, bless this little one. Bless her in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, bless this sister tonight in the name of Jesus. I ask you to do it. Bless this sister. Oh God, as I pray for this sister, grant her a miracle tonight. Dear God, may her faith go up to thee tonight. And Lord God, may she look beyond human reasoning. And Uramandaramashandriyataramandaramosandramanaya. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I feel faith in this heart, Father. May thy miraculous, may thy spirit, grant it in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of your lovely Son tonight, grant it. Grant your blessings. Oh God, the voice from heaven, grant it in the name of Jesus. Father, heal this body. Grant blessings to this body. Grant strength to this body. Hear, oh God. Hear, oh God. In the name of your lovely child, Jesus, in Jesus' wonderful name, praise God. Don't you feel the blessings of the Lord tonight? Don't you feel that wonderful blessing of God? I feel the blessings of God, and I feel like we ought to sing another little chorus now. Praise God. You feel like singing another chorus? All right, let's sing this little chorus. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he is my bright in the morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Oh, well.
everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Oh, everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's that bright morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Oh, everybody ought to know. Let's bow our heads together now as our brother Fontaine comes. Brother Fontaine, if you will, come and dismiss us in a word of prayer. Let's reverence the Lord, folks. May the Lord bless you.